If you do like me, you won't pay any attention to it. We'll be with you, brother.
Thank you all for the gracious invitation and the fellowship here at Happy Creek Church. The first time I came here was 9 years ago, and it's been sweet. It's time flies, doesn't it, Brother
Yes,
Gary?
Yes, it does.
Time flies. And since that time, just to see the change in Happy Creek and how healthy Happy Creek is, it's a wonderful blessing. I couldn't help but notice seeing all these new faces that I hadn't seen before here at Happy Creek Church. And I know that you all are very thankful for all of these folks. And it's a blessing to see each and every one of you. One thing that I notice, and I think it's very essential, is seeing a lot of you as families coming in together to worship. And that's very important, bringing your children and coming and worshiping as a family. Primitive Baptist believe in that, and they believe that that we should worship as a family together, that you shouldn't be separate. This is something, we all come to the same feeding table, and we feast from Mother Jerusalem's table. As I stand before you, I certainly inquire and ask for your prayers. The preaching needs to come from God. He needs to be blessing me as I stand before you, and if the Holy Spirit doesn't come this way and doesn't bless me, then Brother Gary, I guess you can get nervous again, because he said he was feeling really easy tonight, and I told him the street goes two ways, so we're going to have to get him up at either at Browntown or Old Carroll sometime, and I can tell him I feel easy when we put him up in the pulpit. I certainly thank the Lord for Brother Gary. Brother Gary is a wonderful pastor, and the Lord has blessed him with a wonderful gift to pastor you all, and I know that if I was a member here at Happy Creek Church, I would just be blessed to know that he was my pastor. And we thank God for him and for the gifts that God has given him, and we love him. Lord willing, I'd like to look in the scriptures, beginning in the book of Matthew, and I would like to look at the 28th chapter. And in the 9th verse. One of the best places that we can find ourselves is at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
There's a lot of things that we can find at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
It's a place where we worship. It's a place where we find healing.
Amen.
It's a place where we find devotion.
Amen.
It's a place where we find reconciliation. It's also a place where we feel unworthy even to go. If you remember when John was preaching, and I'm sorry, I haven't even got to the text yet, but well, Lord willing, we'll get there. When John was preaching, and he was in the River Jordan, he says, "I indeed baptize you with water. But there cometh one after me, in whose shoe latchet I am unworthy to unloose."
Yes.
And we feel that unworthiness, but at the same time, through his blood, we are made worthy.
Right. Amen.
So you might have that feeling of unworthiness, but when you have that feeling of unworthiness,
sure,
you're made worthy.
Amen.
Because he has made you fit for that. So here in the Gospel of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, 9th verse, it says, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet, and worshipped him."
Amen.
Those disciples were at the feet of their Savior, holding on to his feet. And there they found it was a place of worship.
Amen.
Now, as we've come here in the capacity today, or this evening at Happy Creek Church, and forgive me for saying today, this is I've gotten everything so backwards this weekend. This is my fifth time in the pulpit since starting Saturday through today. And that's what I'm saying. If I don't know if there's anything left or not. So please pray. But anyway, in this capacity, when we come here, we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. And when we come with that in our mind, when Christ is the center of all things and He's the center of the church and our eyes are focused on Him, then that's when we become of one mind and one accord. And it's a beautiful thing when we get to that point. When we're at that point, when we see Jesus, when we can look at the faces of our brothers and sisters, and when we see Jesus within each and every one of us, when we shake hands, when we fellowship, when we're talking about the needs of the congregation, when we are operating in this capacity and we're putting Christ first and foremost over top of anything else, it's a wonderful place to be when we find ourselves at the feet of Jesus. Lord willing, I would like to go through a couple different scriptures looking at the feet of Jesus. There's one scripture that comes to mind where the young woman found herself at the feet of Jesus and she began crying. Yeah. And as she was crying, the tears ran off her face and they began to fall on Jesus' feet. And she took her hair and she began to wipe His feet with her hair. She found that as a place of devotion, a place where she came to, and there was some that were sitting there said, "Master, if you knew what kind of woman this was, you wouldn't even let her touch you." And Jesus knew all about who she was. You don't have to. I said that earlier. Cedar Creek, there is nothing that is hidden from His all-seeing eye. Listen, the God that you serve, the Jesus Christ that you serve, children of God, has foreverly been. He foreverly will be. He is eternal. He is omnipotent. He is there all in all. And there is nothing hidden from His all-seeing eye. He is all-powerful. He is all-wise. Our God is not in a grave. Our God is not a statue. Our God is a living God. He is a living Savior. We can go to Him at any time of day. He is our He's our elder brother. He sticks closer to us than a brother. And when we find ourselves at His feet, it's a good place to be.
Amen.
Just as like as that sister, I believe in the book of John is where that was. John 12:3. And I'm afraid I might have got, sometimes I get myself in such a way and get excited, I might miss a word or two. But in John 12, in the Gospel of John 12, in this particular situation, actually, this is a different aspect of being at the feet of Jesus, but this is a good one too.
Absolutely.
This is right after the resurrection of Lazarus had taken place, and Jesus had called for Lazarus to come forth. He said, "Lazarus, come forth," and he came bound in his grave clothes, and he said, "Loose him and let him go." And here at this point, in the 12th chapter, Lazarus is sitting there, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe they're over at Martha's house.
Yes.
And here in the 12th chapter, I'll just read this to you in your hearing. It says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with them. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped His feet with her hair."
Yeah.
"And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Now, I just want to make a comment here. They used spikenard. This is a type of spice of ointment that was very expensive. And she used this to put on Jesus' feet because she felt he was very well worthy of anointing his feet with this spice. But there was one standing by, close by, that was watching this taking place. And he didn't quite think that that was a good idea. And look here, fourth verse. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?
Yeah.
Now he makes it seem like that's his intentions.
Yeah.
He and you know what? We can take this as a lesson for each and every one of us. I was asked by a middle-aged couple who is interested in joining our church and up at Old Carroll. And as I was talking with them, they asked me, "Well, do you believe in tithing in the church?" And I began to explain to them that there was a man by the name of Melchizedek, and when Abraham had come out, I think they were coming up from Sodom. And he had Lot with him, and there was 300 men. And when they came up through Salem, there was a king by the name of Melchizedek there. And Melchizedek met the men, and he gave them bread and wine, and gave them a place to rest. But then Abraham gave him a tenth of all those things. And under that, under the Old Testament principle, giving a tenth was under the law.
Yes.
However, we are no longer under the law. Christ has fulfilled the law. We are under the New Testament.
Amen.
We are under grace. So that means we go by the New Testament principle, which is God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
Now here's what that means. When it comes time to when the plate is going around, and if you have to grudgingly reach in your pocket to give, then you shouldn't give at all because you're missing the point. It should be for love in your heart that you're giving. It shouldn't be for the fact that, I'm going to just set this exact amount just because this is how it should be, or I'm going to make it 10%. You should do it however the Lord moves in your heart to do that. And here in this capacity, Judas was making it look like that he wanted to take the money and give it to the poor. But let's see what his real intentions were.
The scripture tell.
Sixth verse. And he said,
not
that he cared for the poor, because he was a thief, and he had the bag that bear that was put therein. Then Jesus said, let her alone. You leave her alone. She knows what she's doing. You don't mess with her. Against the day of my burying, she hath kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye not have always. This was an opportunity that she had, an opportunity that we do not have. The fact that her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, was standing right there before her. And she had the ability to go down to the feet of her Master and to anoint His feet. Can you just imagine that for just a moment? This same man that paid that price for you, could you imagine having the opportunity in the physical aspect of being able to just touch His feet? Can you imagine what it must have been like? It's just like when Jesus was in that crowd and there was many that were around Him, and there was a woman that was walking around the crowd and she had an issue of blood about her, and she knew that Jesus was there, and she said, if I could just touch a hem of His garment, then I could be made whole. Children of God, listen, she came up and she reached forward and she touched His garment, Jesus immediately said, somebody touched me.
Amen. Amen.
And you're like, well, what's so special about that? What's so special about it is there were so many people around Him, and people were bumping into Him, rubbing Him in every which way. And the disciples said, well, of course somebody touched you. There's all these people around. But then Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. And she was made whole immediately.
Amen.
Immediately she was made whole. You know, that is a wonderful aspect that we can see in the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's just like when Brother Gary was talking about all the sick and the things. Praise God Almighty when He gives us that faith and He puts our worries down. Yes. That we can say, it's okay. It is well with my soul.
Amen.
God will take care of it. When we have the faith to be able to say that He's not going to lay anything on you more than what you can bear, and He's already given you a way out of it, even before you've entered into it. Listen, have faith in that, children of God. I, my own self, when Brother Gary, I'm the same way. When they're knocking, when it's knocking on my door, I start getting worried. The sweat beads come up on my forehead. I get a sick stomach, and I'm worrying about things. And then I get that small, still voice speaking to me, brother. You need to calm down and trust in the Lord.
Trust me.
Because He will take care of it.
Amen.
He'll take care of it. He takes care of His children. And He watches over us. And praise God Almighty that we have a Savior that watches over us. How many times, think in your own life, how many times have you been at the hospital and you've seen someone come out of something when you didn't think they had the ability of coming out of it? How many times have you had a loved one and sit by their bedside and you watch them suffer, but yet you see them suffering in joy? How many times have you ever been at the bedside of somebody and it was their last moments?
Yeah.
And God called them home, but yet there was a peace given. Amen. Inside your soul.
Amen.
There was an elder, he actually came here to Happy Creek one time, up in Maryland, Elder Bill Gregory. I was by his bedside just hours before he passed on. And as we sat there by his bedside, I could see he was suffering greatly. And the only thing I knew to do was to just start praying.
Yeah.
I grabbed his hand and said, Brother Bill, let's just pray. And I could tell he was uncomfortable. And as we started to pray, the prayer that came to my lips wasn't a prayer that I had originally thought I was going to pray, Brother Gary. A lot of times we're praying for the Lord to heal and comfort, but the prayer that came out, I said, Lord, take him home. Take him home. He raised his hands up in his hospital bed. He said, Lord, help me. He's calling on the name of the Lord in the last minutes of his life. And by the time that I got home, I got a phone call and said, he's gone. But he's home.
He's home.
You know, that's one thing that we can rest assured in. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Rest assured in that. I know that I'm sure everyone here has probably had to go through the loss of a loved one. But when it comes to that point, children of God, trust. That when it comes time that we say goodbye in this life, it's not goodbye forever.
No.
It's not goodbye forever. It's so long for a little while. I'll see you on the other side.
Amen.
It's a good land over there.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, it's been prepared for us. And I believe, children of God, with all that's within me, that when a child of God closes their eyes to this world, they're going to open their eyes and they're going to behold the very face of their Savior, and they're going to be in complete and perpetual bliss. And He says, for I would rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful we have this doctrine to rest assured in?
Amen.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Another scripture that comes to mind is in Luke 10. Luke 10, 38 and 39. Now it came to pass, as they went and entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received them into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. It's a place, being at Jesus' feet is a place where we hear the word. This word, Brother Gary, is so important. He has given us this word, and I mentioned it before, that we should be as the Bereans were in the book of Acts, daily searching the scriptures. I am so thankful. As I look out here in the congregation, I see a good many of you with your books open and you're following along in the scriptures. That's so encouraging. I've been in many churches where you didn't see hardly a Bible being cracked open. But it is so good, Brother Gary, to see this here at Happy Creek Church and to see that you are vigilant in studying this word and following that. And not only that, but you know, when I go to church, I want to take something home with me. I want something that I can feast on. It, not only is this a place where we hear the gospel, and the gospel is preached to us. It's a place where we also learn. It's a place where we grow. And when I go home, I want to go home and I want to feast on that. I've been to some meetings where I can sit there and all week long I can just sit there and think about the things that were preached on. And it's just so good. And it just rejoices over and over and over in my heart. This other thought just came to my mind. I remember when there was this one bluegrass player down in southwestern Virginia. Friends with, his name was Leon Kaiser. If y'all are any big bluegrass fans, you might have heard his name at some point. And while he was down playing, he came down with cancer. And it came to the point where he was about to go. And my dad was the one that witnessed this, and I just thought this was just so encouraging. And I love to hear testimonies like this. There were two elders, Primitive Baptist elders that were in the room with him. And he got to the point where he couldn't talk. And they walked in, they were only allowing a few people in the room at the time. And they said that all of a sudden his eyes opened up and he began looking. And he said his eyes fixated on one point in the room. And his eyes were fixated in that point. They said that the most beautiful smile came across his face. And they said it was a smile like they'd never seen before. And my dad asked me, he says, "Brother Leon, do you see something?" And brother, he said he could barely move his head. He barely moved over and he looked and he did a little nod, and he said, "Is it beautiful?" And he kept nodding his head, and he said, and then the other elder standing there, he says, "Brother," he says, "are you looking off into that far distant country?" And he said, that brother, he said his head went, he said he just leaned way back, and he breathed out his last breath, and he was gone. Those things, I heard Brother Tolliver say this one time at a funeral, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Thank you, brother. That's what I was going for. And so there are these things I feel good about when I hear them. And it gives me reassurance. Time to time, I doubt. Time to time, I get down and out. But you know what? We all do.
Yes, we do.
That's called human nature. We need to be realistic with one another. And we need to help each other out whenever we get in those circumstances. Sometimes one brother or sister needs a little bit more encouraging.
Amen.
Than another one.
Yeah.
And we need each other. We bear fruit. And we feed off of that fruit. We need that within the church capacity. We need to be at the point to where a brother or sister, whenever something transpires in their life and they're having a hard time, they might make a bad decision, they might do something that they ought not do, but when it comes to that point, instead of pointing at them and saying, "Oh, look at what so-and-so did," instead of doing that, take your hand and help them up.
Amen.
Help them, dust them off, and help them along their way. We need to be there for each other. Listen, this world is cruel enough as it is. This is an old cruel world that we live in. We need each other in this capacity as followers of Jesus Christ. We need to be in this place. And when we come together in this capacity, we're here for one another. We need to be able to lean on one another and help one another. And that's why we're here. We're not here to make ourselves more self-righteous. That's not what going to church is about. It's not about wearing a collar, and it's not about being how well dressed I can get or how well I can be seen. Oh, look at so-and-so. He's going to church. He must be an all-righteous, holy dude. Well, listen, I'm going to tell you, that's not what it's about. It's about the fact that you love Jesus Christ and that you want to worship Him and you want to be at His feet and you are humbled down and you want to be in that capacity because of love. It's a place of love. It's a place of reconciliation. Think about the young brother, I can't remember his name in Scripture, that was out in the tombs. He didn't have any clothes on at all, and he had all those evil spirits within him, and no one could tie him down or tame him. And when Jesus Christ came his way, they became scared immediately when that took place. And they says, "Are you here to torment me?" And Jesus Christ commanded them to go out of his body, and they went down into that swine, and that man found himself at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Being at the feet of Jesus is a place of being in your right mind. It's a place of peace that passeth understanding. You know, joy and peace, those are fruits of the Spirit. And there's a great difference in happiness and joy. They're not the same thing. Happiness is temporary. Anybody can be happy. Somebody get an extra paycheck or whatever, and you get a bonus or whatever. You'll get happy for a little while, but when that money runs out, you're not happy anymore. Okay? But joy is a fruit. When you are going through those fiery trials, and when you are being tried, when your faith is being tried, yet you've got joy in your soul, and you can be, as the old writer of that song, "It is well with my soul." Have y'all heard the story behind that? How there was a minister, and a ship had been going across the Atlantic, and his wife and children were on that ship. And the ship went down and he lost his whole family. And as they were they took the minister across, and when they got to that point where the ship went down, he sat down and he began to write the words to the song, "It is well with my soul." Listen, that is peace that passeth understanding. Because I've got to be honest with you, I've got two little girls and I've got a wife. And I couldn't ever imagine losing my family. I love them with all my heart. And for someone to be brought to the point of, after losing that, to say, "It is well with my soul," the Lord had to touch his heart. There had to be a peace there. Have you ever been dreading something in your life? And you wonder, how, Lord, am I going to get through this? How am I going to make it past the next day? How am I going to make it through this this trial that's in front of me? And you worry and you get sick. And then when it's all over, you're like, "Well, that wasn't so bad. I got myself so worked up, but it wasn't so bad."
Right.
You want to know why? Because the Lord's with you.
Amen.
I like to think of that poem, "Footprints." So I've got a copy of it up on my wall at my house. And in the poem itself, the man was talking to the Lord. And he said, "Lord, as I look back over my life, I see two sets of footprints when everything was hunky-dory and going well." And he says, "In the hardest points of my life, there's only one set. Why'd you leave me, Lord, in those hardest points?" And the Lord said, "Oh, I never left you. I carried you."
Amen.
I carried you. And here's another one. I saw a little cartoon ad one time, and I just thought it was so good. It painted a good picture. It showed a lot of people when they were bearing a cross. And there was one little fella that said, "Lord, this cross is just a little too heavy for me to bury. Could you cut a little bit off of it for me?" And it showed that a little piece broke off, and they kept on going. And a little bit farther in life, he says, "Oh, this cross is just too heavy. Can you cut just a little bit more off?" Now, here's the thing. All the rest of the folks were still bearing that same cross. But that little fella, he kept saying, "Cut a little bit more. Cut a little bit more." And then at the end of the comic strip, there was a great gulf. And all those took that cross and they laid it over and they walked across to the other side. And his was so short that he fell down into the cavern or terrain or whatever you want to call it. And what I'm trying to say is this. Our faith grows. We grow in patience through these trials that we face. We don't like facing them.
Tribulation.
We don't like tribulation. We don't like trials. But we grow in patience and we grow in knowledge. Our faith grows through these fiery trials that we have to face. Listen, I'm not one of those preachers that's going to stand before you and say that the Lord wants you to be rich. And the Lord and if you give enough money, He's going to turn that money into about $1 million. And you're going to... Listen, that's not telling the truth. The Bible is plain when it says, "I leave among you a poor and afflicted people." And listen, we are going to have to face trials in this life. It's part of living. And we just have to get real and face that. More than good. Brother Gary, I love having you down here beside me. Yeah. And then I'd like to look at another scripture, Lord willing. In Luke 7:37. Here's the one where she was washing her feet with hair. 7:37, "Behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at His feet, behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed His feet, and anointed them with the ointment." That right there, I wonder how strong she felt that she actually entered into the Pharisee's house.
Yeah.
Here they were, Pharisees. No doubt they were wearing their righteous robes. And all sitting around and Jesus is there and here she comes running in. She needed to be close to her Master. She needed to be at His feet. That was a place for her that she needed to be. And with her tears, she washed His feet and began to wipe them with the hair of her head. Oh, children of God, sometimes we find ourselves at that point. Have you ever been at the end of your rope? Have you ever been where you felt like the situation in your life was so great that it was out of your hands? You're like, "Lord, if only I could do this, if only I could do this." Then finally, Jesus speaks peace.
Amen.
To your soul. I want you to stop and think about when Jesus was on the ship. And He was asleep down below and the great storm began beating at the side of the ship. And it was so great that the disciples feared for their lives. And they went and they woke Him up. And don't tell me they didn't fear for their lives, because He said, "Master, cares not that we perish." And Jesus said, "Oh, ye little faith." And He walked out and He said, "Peace, be still." Has He spoken that to your heart?
Amen.
Has He ever spoken, "Peace, be still"? When it seems like the trials of your life was a whirlwind around you, everything was a headache and all the papers and stuff were flying around, you didn't know where to turn next, but yet you hear, "Peace be still," and all the storms of the life that are around you, they go away. That's the Savior that we have. Where we say peace, where He says peace, be still. Being at Jesus' feet is a place of healing. It's a place where we can be healed. And just like it is in scriptures where the dumb and the blind and the maimed and all those others found themselves at the feet of Jesus. Insomuch that the multitude wonder when they saw the dumb to speak and the maimed to be whole and the lame to walk and the blind to see, that they glorified the God of Israel. Children of God, listen, this is the power of Jesus Christ. I believe in the healing of Jesus Christ. I believe... Now listen, I want to clarify something real quick. I don't believe in this religious aspect of, if Brother Gary came in here at Happy Creek and said, okay, everybody, line up. And we're going to start healing you one at a time. No, not in that aspect. But I believe that Jesus Christ has the ability to heal.
Amen.
In fact, I know He does.
Oh, yes.
I know He does.
He's the healer.
I witnessed it. When my father was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and back in 1978, they didn't know what was wrong with him back then. They didn't have the medical technology to just diagnose something easily. And when he was afflicted with MS, he was paralyzed from the neck down. And he could move his first finger. They didn't know what was wrong with him. They began running all kinds of tests. And I remember there were seven doctors that reviewed his case. And when they came in, they stood around his bed. And they said, Mr. Cook, we found out what's wrong with you. But they said, it's so far advanced at this point. They said, you're going to be bedfast the rest of your life. And I was just a little boy at that time. But his response was a big smile. And they said, normally when we give someone this kind of news, that they are devastated. And his response to them was this. Doctors, the Lord has given you all amazing talents to be able to help the sick. He's given you all the ability with your hands and with your craft to help us. But he says, when it comes to the point that it's out of your hands, I want you to know I have a physician.
Sure.
And he says, I believe that he's going to heal me. Now, that night, he had a dream. And in that dream, he saw our little family. Me and my sister and my mother. And he said he saw a great storm on top of the mountain. And he saw a hand reach down through the storm and pick her little family up and sit on top of the mountain over top of the storm. And he woke up. He said he was very happy. And he said, I know everything's going to be all right. And during this time period, there were two orderlies that used to come by and they loved talking with him. They loved because he would always talk scripture. And they'd say, Mr. Cook, we want to talk to you today. We got something we want to share with you. And then they got a real good friendship going. And throughout this time, he was going through therapy and he made it to where he was in a wheelchair. One night, I believe I can share this with you because I believe I'm among a people who believe what I'm saying. That night, he said while he was laying there, a small, still voice he heard speak. And it said the word heal. He got up out of the bed that night. He took a few steps and he fell on the floor. And the nurse found him the next morning in the floor. And the nurse came to him and said, how did this happen? How did you get over here in the floor? And he says, I got up and I walked. And they said, no, you didn't. And they said, that's impossible. There's no way you did. He says, no, I did. He says, I got up and took a couple steps. They said, no, that's impossible. And they picked him up. They put him back in the bed. They say, you just had a nervous jerk reaction and popped out of the bed. Well, a few weeks later, he was being discharged from the hospital. And he was in the wheelchair, and they took him to the doors. And he took his hand and he put it up. And he said, stop. And the orderly said, what is it, Mr. Cook? He said, I told you. He says, I'm walking out of here. And he got up out of his chair. And he practically duck walked out of there, but he walked through those doors. And he sat down on the other side. 2 weeks later, two people joined the church and he walked into the river and baptized them. A week later, he went back for his appointment. And the doctor literally fell over top of his desk and he says, there's no way that you have this disease. So they ran another test on him to see what the count was. And his count was worse than it was when he was in the hospital. So he got nicknamed the Walking Miracle. And he preached for many, many years after that. The Lord bless him to preach all up and down the East Coast from Florida to Michigan. I'm not praising him. I'm praising God for what God did in him. But I wanted to share that story with you to show you that God is still healing. He is on his throne. He is all merciful. He is all powerful. And listen, I have witnessed it and seen it with my own eyes. And he preached for many years all the way up until, well, 2 weeks ago. He was blessed to make, he's in a nursing home now. 2 weeks ago, he was blessed to come out to church at Old Carroll and offer prayer.
Yeah, thank the Lord.
So good. He's still able once in a while. And I heard he's preaching to the folks down there in the nursing home once in a while. So, but anyway, the Lord is good to us. And I hope I didn't wear you all out with that. I intend usually to stick to Scripture when I'm in the Bible. But that's where my thoughts went. You know, just like the feet of Jesus, it's a place where we feel unworthy to go. Just like John said, he felt unworthy to unloose the latchet. But I want to tell you, when you feel unworthy, you're made worthy. I hope that makes sense.
Sure.
What that means is when you're sitting back there in that pew and you're like, oh Lord, I just don't feel right. I don't feel good enough to join the church. Well, listen, if you don't feel like you're good enough, you are made fit. Because none of us are perfect, number one. We're all in this together. And this is something, when we come in this capacity, that we understand that, yeah, we live in a body of flesh. We live in a body that is subject to sin. And I thought, after I was baptized, that all was going to be happy and good. But I found out real quick that trials were coming my way. And that's why we need to assemble ourselves in this capacity. It's important that you go to church. It's important that you fill your seat. It's important because it is the right thing to do. Not only is it the right thing to do, we are to submit ourselves before God in human sacrifice. The Bible says it in Romans 12:1, I believe. To submit yourselves a living sacrifice before God, it is your reasonable service. There might be some of you here that think, that old Brother Cook, I wish he'd sit down. He just keeps going on and on. And there might be some that might be getting something out of it. But nevertheless, when it comes to the point when you go to church and you don't get anything out of it, thank God that you were there to present yourself as a living sacrifice before God. That's the most important aspect. Listen, it's not all about me. And I used to think it was. Oh, if I'm not at church today, then this isn't going to happen, or that's not going to happen, and or I can skip church because I don't matter too much. It's not about me at all. It's all about Him. It's all about Him, and it's all about us giving praise to Him. So when we are filling our seats, whether you're enjoying the sermon or not, you are doing your duty and giving Him the praise that He deserves. He deserves every praise. I'm that we get Him because it all belongs to Him.
Amen.
So if you take anything from this, I pray that when you think about being at the feet of Jesus, that you think about it's a place where you can find rest for your souls. It's a place where you hear the word. It's a place where you find devotion. It's a place where you go and you're reconciled. There's nothing sweeter than when I think of someone being reconciled back with the church. Oh, I like to think about the prodigal son from time to time. How he got himself in such a situation where I'm sure y'all are familiar with the parable, but how that he left his father's house, he took the inheritance, he spent all that he had, and he got himself in such a situation that he was eaten among the swines. And he said, if I was a servant in my father's house, I'd be eating better than this.
Yes.
And so he thought, well, maybe if I could go back and just be a servant. And when he came back, oh, I love it, what his daddy did. He said, let's have a feast. Let's put a ring on his finger. Let's celebrate at him coming home. Listen, this is home. This church is a place of home for the wayfaring pilgrims in this world that we live in. This is a home away from home. And if the Lord has ever moved in your heart in that direction, I pray that He'll bless you to come home. May God bless you, is my prayer.
Bless you. Down at the feet of Jesus, what number is that? God bless you, my brother. We love you.
Love
good,
you too.
Powerful preaching. Thank God for giving praise. 66.
I really like your watch, Brother Gary, but I'm going to give it back to you.
Okay. Yeah. Number 66. Feel the Lord is truly blessed us tonight to share His word and hear the glorious good news of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He's done for His people. At the feet of Jesus, there are just glorious, glorious blessings. To be at the feet of Jesus also means to be at the feet of the brethren.
Amen.
Be at one of those feet. And we'll stand and sing, number 66. As we do, we probably should open the door of the church. If there be one or more here and love the Lord and have a desire to follow Him in baptism, a desire to unite with this church or any sister churches represented, you let your feelings be made known as we stand and sing. 66, down at the feet of Jesus.
Down at the feet of Jesus, I grow in humble prayer, seeking a broken spirit to find a comfort there. Though I am just a sinner,
so good.